Welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Broadcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danita Evangeline White, and I am the second oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III encourages us to keep the soul winner's fire by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Podcast. Number 151. By the way, we're going out here in a few minutes after this podcast to go and pass out some gospel tracts. I would encourage you to do the same. You will be amazed at what God will do through a gospel tract. D.L. Moody called it the corporatage ministry. I still do not know what the corporatage ministry means, but I know it's good. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. As always, it is so good to be with you today. To challenge you, to encourage you, to exhort you, and, if you will, to motivate you to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are, to those who are not believers in Christ. You do not have to go to Cambodia to witness to somebody. And you should not go to Cambodia to witness to somebody if you won't witness to somebody right down the street or across the tracks. Even though we will share some instructions on how to witness for the Lord from time to time, we believe that most Christians do not need to learn how to witness for the Lord. They just need to go and do it. If nothing else, share your testimony. Give somebody a gospel pamphlet. Do something. So our aim here is more motivational than instructional. Our soul-winning passage from the Word of God today is John 4:35, which reads, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Allow me to share with you some insights regarding this passage of Scripture from the expository notes of Dr. Thomas Constable. Jesus continued to speak of spiritual matters in physical terms. The whitened fields represent humankind in its condition of being ripe for divine judgment, and may I add, ripe to be saved from it. Perhaps as Jesus spoke these words, the disciples observed the customarily white-clothed men of Sukkah wending their way through the fields toward them as so much living grain. Jesus' reference to 4 months was probably proverbial. It was the approximate time between the last sowing and the earliest reaping. His point was that between the spiritual task of sowing the gospel and reaping belief, the intervening time may be very brief. The disciples needed spiritual vision. They could obtain it by lifting their eyes and looking on the fields of lost people rather than being completely absorbed in their physical needs. As with physical grain, the opportunity for harvesting spiritually is relatively brief. If left unreached, people die in their sins and go to hell. Beloved, our soul-winning quote for today is from Charles H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He said, "And what I have said of soul winners belongs not to the learned doctor of divinity or to the eloquent preacher alone, but to you all who are in Christ Jesus." Our soul-winning devotional is part 16 of our series titled The Master Plan of Evangelism by Dr. Robert E. Coleman. Association, closer as training ends. The determination with which Jesus sought to fulfill this commission is evident as one reads through the subsequent gospel accounts. Contrary to what one might expect, as the ministry of Christ lengthened into the second and third years, he gave increasingly more time to those chosen disciples, not less. Frequently, he would take them with him on a retreat, if you will, to some mountainous area of the country where he was relatively unknown, seeking to avoid publicity as far as possible. They took trips together to Tyre and Zidon to the northwest, to the borders of Decapolis and the parts of Dalmanutha, to the southeast of Galilee, and to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, to the northeast. These journeys were made partly because of the opposition of the Pharisees and the hostility of Herod, but primarily because Jesus felt the need to get alone with his disciples to teach them, to prepare them to turn the world upside down. I added that part, okay. It's all right. Later, he spent several months with his disciples in Perea, east of the Jordan. As opposition mounted, there Jesus walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples, when at last the time came for him to go to Jerusalem. He significantly took the 12 disciples apart from the rest as he made his way slowly to the city. In view of this, it is not surprising that during Passion Week, Jesus scarcely ever let his disciples out of his sight. Even when he prayed alone in Gethsemane, his disciples were only a stone's throw away. Is not this the way it is with every family as the hour of departing draws near? Every minute is cherished because of the growing realization that such close association in the flesh soon will be no more. Words uttered under these circumstances are always more precious. Indeed, it was not until time began to close in that the disciples of Christ were prepared to grasp many of the deeper meanings of his presence with them. Doubtless, this explains why the writers of the Gospels were constrained to devote so much of their attention to these last days. Fully half of all that is recorded about Jesus happened in the last months of his life, and most of this in the last week. Beloved, in our next episode, we will continue looking at association closer as training ends. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us. Help us to be the witnesses and the disciples that you want us to be. Help us to be the shining lights and the soul winners you want us to be by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power of your grace. We pray that you will help us to turn many from darkness to light through your gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I lovingly encourage you to get to know him today. May I lovingly encourage you to be saved today. Allow me to show you how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, disobedience, and we die spiritually because of sin if we don't trust Christ as Savior and go to a place called hell to suffer the consequences forever. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news. I agree. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, keep the soul winners fire. God bless you.